Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, welcome everybody. This is another Wednesday night. We're working on foundations. We'll open with prayer and then we'll get right into it. Father, I just give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your word that comes forth, Father God. It is alive and powerful, Lord. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, Father. It brings us strength and truth. And we give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' name. So, Father, tonight, I just ask that by your Spirit, Father God, as you give me utterance, Lord, that your truth comes forth. And it lays forth the foundation for our lives, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my message tonight was, Am I Dressed for the Fight? And it was something that was stirring in my heart for a long time. And then lately, when Mark had that message about Ready or Not, Here I Come, and then Pastor Sean was talking about the armies that came to David and how they came prepared and ready to fight. And Mike talked about being yoked and how we're yoked together. And all these things are foundations that we build our Christian lives on and how we go forth in life. And so when I was thinking about this, one of the things that came up to me was the armor of God, because it says for us to put on the whole armor of God. And so I got to wondering about that a little bit. And it was like, do we appreciate and put on the armor of God like we're supposed to? So several years ago, during kind of the charismatic movement in the church, there was this study came out called Binding the Strong Man. And what it was is that they had taken a scripture in Matthew and John or Luke, and they talked about binding the strong man so they could go in and plunder his house. But when I got to look, I bought the book, we read it for a while, and it just bothered me. It just bothered me a lot because something didn't make sense there. Because when you go to John 10:10, what does it say? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not a thief. I'm not trying to break into a strong man's house. I'm not trying to break into Satan's house. I don't have anything to do with him. I'm the strong man. You are the strong man. And so the scripture that came to me, or these scriptures that came, was out of Matthew 12:29. And it says, how can a person go into a strong man's house and carry off his goods without first binding the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. And then it says in Mark 3:27, you know, whenever you hear something more than once, it's probably on the test. So Mark 3:27 says, but no one can go into a strong man's house and ransack his household goods right and left and seize them as plunder unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may thoroughly plunder his house. So Luke 11:21 is then the answer to that. When the strong man, fully armed, from his courtyard guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed, his property is at peace and secure. So as I was looking at this, one of the things that came to me is that the whole armor of God is really Bible knowledge applied. That's what it is. You've got to know the Word of God. Otherwise, you're not armed very well. So as I was looking, at this and how we're armed, could you put up another picture? Caleb, this one here, the days are evil, dress appropriately. And it's true. And you see a guy that's in pretty shiny armor and whatnot there. One of the things that everything you see about him is facing forward. And I know a lot of people have said, well, you know, well, the devil sneaked up on me. That's how this happened. Or the devil snuck up on this and did that, and that's how it happened. But one thing I found out a while ago is that God has our backs. The devil cannot sneak up on you. It is impossible for the devil to sneak up on you. Exodus 14, 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so no one came near the other. Isaiah 52:12. For you shall not go out in haste nor by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward guard. And then Isaiah 58:8. Then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rearward guard. Satan cannot come from behind you. If he's going to get you, he's got to come through that armor. So that's why we need to know how to dress appropriately, how to dress for the fight. So I was reading the word put on, and I was trying to find out what put on meant. And one of the things that I thought was really cool about this, it is the sense of sinking into a garment. Now, a lot of people don't wear suits anymore. But back in the day, when you put on a really nice suit, you know, they used to say the suit makes the man. And you'd stand, and you just, it felt good. You just stood in front of that mirror, and you're like, hey, that's pretty nice. And it is that sinking, is to array oneself with this. You know, when David went before Saul, or Saul called him, and he says, here, put on my armor. And David says, I can't use this because I haven't proved it. It doesn't fit. I mean, if we remember the story of Saul, it said that he stood a head above the other Israelites at the time. So you can imagine David, which probably but a normal size, well, a young man, but a normal sized Jew at that time, that armor would have been just massive. Would not have fit him at all. He couldn't have done what he needed to do. And then I was looking at the word proved, and the proved is to work like an assay. Now, an assay, if you take minerals to an assayer, he'll put it in there and he'll put it in a crucible. And he'll heat it, and he'll melt it, and then he'll skim off all the dross, and you get down to the pure metal. And part of that assaying is how much good metal is in the ore. So to prove it, to test it, to assay it, how much good is there in this? So it says to put on the new man. It also says to put on the armor. So that means to sink into this new position that you have now. Because when you're born again, you become a new man. You're a new creation. Behold, all things are new. We need to sink into that, which means we have to put off the old man. And the put off means to cast away or put away. I like the idea of cast away because sometimes you put things away in the closet, then you go dig around in there and pull them back out again. We don't want to do that. We want these things cast away from ourselves. And one of the things, as we're talking about the armor, you know, in the military, I've never been in the military. I've just done a lot of reading and studying about it. But one of the things that happens is in the military, you're trained to put your armor on correctly. Those of you that have been in the military, I know Kyle's been in the military, they teach you how to dress. They teach you how to put on your fatigues. They teach you to put on your dress uniform. They teach you how to put all that stuff on. And then they teach you how to put on your armor. And today our soldiers are armored. I mean, they've got ceramic and bulletproof chest plates. They've got all sorts of things on that armor them against the enemy. And another thing they teach them to do is to check each other. And you know, that's something that we as Christians, we're not real good at. We don't spend a lot of time checking on each other. We're real good at complimenting. Hey, you're doing good. Looking good there. But how often do we sit down and I was looking at this. In an armor check, so let's look at the helmet of salvation. How do we wear that? Now, if you look at him, he's got it pulled down. You know, one thing I noticed in World War II, when you saw the new soldiers, the pictures of the new soldiers, their helmet was down, their chin strap was on. You saw the soldiers had been at it for a while. It was cocked to the side, chin straps are flying. You know, you start getting a little comfortable. Salvation, I don't ever want us to get comfortable with salvation. There's too great a price paid for that. The Son of God came for us. That price was horrible and was paid for us. We should never get comfortable with that. We should accept it, believe on it, stand firm in it, but never just get comfortable in it. Let's be firm. Let's have that helmet of salvation there, because that thing is going to stop the blows to the head. Now, where does the devil attack us? Attacks us in our head. Thoughts, ideas, imaginations. That's what he goes for. How can I make you think evil of somebody else? How can I make you think evil of a situation? Why do we have race issues? Why do we have, you know, these sexist issues? Why do we? Because he gets in our heads. And we start viewing things from that kind of a platform. And so, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you are in Christ? You know, your breastplate of righteousness. How are you wearing your righteousness? You know, there's a lot of us that, and I'm just talking within the church in general. I know I myself sometimes, I don't wear my righteousness as well as I should. And you know, if that breastplate of righteousness, what's that protecting? It's protecting my heart. My heart needs to be protected, because when I start thinking about, if I let something through the helmet into my mind and it sinks down into my heart and I let my righteousness get away, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, the enemy has a wonderful way of just thumping on me, because now I start feeling bitterness. You don't feel bitterness in your head, you feel bitterness in your heart. And bitterness is not a good thing to have. And sometimes we need to look at each other and you know, hey, do you got your helmet on square? You know? How about your breastplate? How's your righteousness doing? I mean, are you standing in the righteousness of God, or are you doing this on your own? And you know, there's oftentimes we as Christians, we do things on our own, we expect a pat on the back. And that's when we get into danger, because now we're dealing with our righteousness and not his. So we need to look at that, and we need to look at each other. And there's, you know, there's times when we have to have times of correction as well as times of attaboys. You know, a lot of people think, well, it's the pastor's job to correct. No. You know, if I'm with Herb and he sees something in me that is like the Spirit of God puts something and says, you know, Rick's not, that doesn't fit right. If he doesn't come to me and say, Rick, the Lord told me such and such, he's setting me up for failure. He's setting me up for sin. And then, but if he does tell me that, now I have to respond either humbly or, who do you think you are? You know? There's two ways I can respond. But it's important that we be able to talk to one another. You know, this is part of getting to know one another in a body, in a family. You know, and this, we call ourselves Faith Family Church. There's a reason we call ourselves Faith Family Church. We are the family of God. We're brothers and sisters of Christ and in Christ, and God is our Father. And we have to be able to stand in that place where we understand who we are in Christ, and that we can talk to each other like brothers and sisters in Christ. So it says, loins are wrapped about in truth. So, are you truthful all the time? Gossiping, white lies, jokes that are kind of mean, but maybe not. You know, I have a friend of mine, Chuck. We tease each other, laugh. One time I was talking to him. I said, you know, I think we're getting to a place here where we need to be careful what we say, because it'd be very easy for me to push just one too far, and all of a sudden I've hurt somebody's feelings. I've said something I shouldn't say. I said a mistruth, and I've set things up for failure for him. So we have to be able to judge ourselves as to whether or not we're doing these things. And the Lord will, by his Spirit, will give us conviction on things. But truth has to be preeminent. We can't deal with white lies. We can't deal with presumptions. We can't deal with gossip. Those are the things that work on that. And then the other one is the shield of faith. This is always a good one, because I was thinking about this as go up to somebody and says, "Wear your shield, buddy. You look like you've been through a forest fire." You know, it's supposed to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we laid it down, and the darts got through, and we got scorched. Are we willing to accept a notification of that? But what's going on? Those are things that are, those are hard questions that we, as we get to know somebody, that we should be able to ask. And I don't want people to think we're supposed to be in a place of correcting people all the time, but we've been so good about telling everybody how good they're doing, we forget that in Revelations, when Jesus spoke, he says, I know your good works. You did all these good things, but I got something here I got to talk to you about. And then he goes on and tells them what he found that was wrong within their church, and that was to be a correction. You guys need to correct this, or I will take the lampstand out. See, why do I have words get away from me when I need them? But there are consequences. Good, thank you. Hit me with that again. There are consequences for doing things good and doing things wrong. And God blesses with good consequences, and he judges with the other consequences that we have put ourselves into. And we need to help each other. Pastor Sean here recently was talking about the being an ear or a toe or an eye of the body and whether or not, is that a place of honor? I'll tell you what, if you're in the body of Christ, you're in a place of honor. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're a hair follicle. I'm serious. Guy, if you're in the body of Christ, you can't be at a better place. But we need to talk to people about their faith. I talked to a guy one time. It's one of those things where I just looked at him in church one day, and I just felt like I needed to talk to him, and I began to talk to him about some things, and I began to lay some things out for him, and I got the book In Him, and I gave it to him, and he threw it away. So I gave him another one. By the third book, he finally read it, and we began to talk about faith, because he didn't understand what faith really was. A lot of his thoughts at that time were, whatever happens, that God's in control after all, so whatever happens must be in his purview. But I had an option. Well, I didn't have an option. I had an injunction within me to tell him about faith and to get him to a place where he could read about it and we could talk about it. And the man has grown leaps and bounds just in those books and the things that he's done, because he began to see what faith was all about. And he began to get his shield up, and he began to notice that his finances were better, his health was better, his marriage was better. It's just all these things were happening because he began to work on faith. Excuse me. So the other thing is, this guy is holding his sword in his right hand. Now, Revelations tells us that as he was described as the one with the sword coming out of his mouth, that's our sword. We don't carry a sword in our right hand. We carry it in our mouth. And the thing about it is, it's like, haven't heard that sword of yours lately. Is it back in the sheath? And the truth of the matter is, too many people, and I've done this myself, so if I point one finger out, I got three coming back at me. Too many people, when something bad happens, they shut their mouths. It's kind of the old better not say anything at all than to say something bad. But that's not true. That song we've been playing a lot on Sundays, and you hear a lot on the radio anymore, "I Raise a Hallelujah." We got to do that. If there's something going on in your life, you can't just sit there and mutter, "Oh, woe is me." And you can't just get it in your head and try to think this thing out. You got to come to the Word of God, because this is our armor applied. You've got to come to this Word of God, and you've got to sharpen that sword up, and you've got to get it out there doing some action for you. So if you're warding off the fiery darts, you need to offensively attack with the sword of the Spirit, which comes out of your mouth, which should be coming from your belly. Now, I don't have any problem with anybody going to the Word to find out what they have to say, but it's really a lot better. You know, anybody that's been on a battlefield, that's not a good time to start looking for ammunition. You better have loaded everything up and gone out there and ready to go. It should be on you. When the Scripture says it should be in you, those things should come out of you. We should be speaking those words over ourselves, over other people. I mean, we have those things down for healing and for finances. We need those things for relationships. We need those things for love. We need those things for just having that time to minister to one another. That has got to come out of our belly. We have to fill up on our ammunition. We've got to sharpen that sword. So then the other one about his feet are shod in the gospel of peace. Where's your peace at? It's in Jesus, but how often are we bringing it out there? How often do we let the little things in life upset our peace? We get wrapped up into anger, or we get wrapped up into situations, and the peace goes right out the window, and it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know. You're getting that. When you're out of peace, you're into anxiety. When you're into anxiety, you're into making rash decisions. When you make rash decisions, your face shield comes down. Your mouth closes up. And the next thing you know, you're on fire. And then somebody's got to come along and say, been burning long? Can I help? But the things that we hold true here in peace, if you're seeing somebody that's having trouble in peace, or you're having trouble with peace in your own life, it's time to sit back and say, whoa, whoa, why? We've got to ask that question, why? Why am I not at peace? Why are you not at peace? And if we're truly listening, we'll find out the Spirit of God's going to tell us. In our conversation or just in that prayer time, He's going to tell us. One of the things that Pastor Sean was talking about here lately in leadership has been in 1 Chronicles 12. And it's talking about all these warriors that came. And it was just kind of amazing, because when I was looking at it, and he was talking about it, but I was looking at it later, he says they all came with their bona fides. They came, I am a master with the sword. I am with the shield and the spear. I am with, he talked about all these guys and how they came and what they brought. People that stood rank. And if you understand something, we being the body of Christ also are the soldiers of Christ here on earth, and we need to stand rank. Now, when I'm looking at this picture, this picture is not what you'd call a normal Roman picture. Back in the day in the Romans that Paul was talking about, their shields were they had different kinds of shields. They had some that were rectangular. And one of the things about a rectangular shield is you could lock it up with somebody else, and there was no way through. Scriptures tell us that one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. How do we do that? We have to lock up with somebody else. So we have to be able to have a shield that is strong enough that's going to lock up somebody else. Now, if we all lock up, if you've ever watched some of the old enactments of the Roman attacks, they would come up against an enemy, and the front line would have their shields just like this. Nothing was getting through, and their spears were through it. And the guys behind them, so the enemy would say, oh, that's fine. I'll just launch some arrows over the top of them. The guys behind them put their shields up like this and locked them. So if any arrows came down, the fiery darts were taken care of, and they protected each other as well as themselves. We need to lock our shields up together. And that's one of those things we need to find that place, that common place when we're here and we're studying, we're loving one another, that we come together, we lock our shields up. You know, if somebody in this body is having, or anybody is having a problem, we need to lock our shields up with them. If I'm having a problem, hopefully my pride doesn't get in the way. Excuse me. Hopefully my pride doesn't get away and I get this thing, well, that's fine. I don't need you. I'm okay. We need to have that humble spirit that says, yes, I need to lock up with you. I need to have two or more on my side, because this is a battle. You know, my daughter's been going through cancer here recently, and we're believing it's overcome and done. One of the things we have to do is I have to lock my shield up with her. My wife has to lock a shield. This body's locking their shields up with her. And in the spirit, we're stronger than any enemy can come against us. Excuse me. Our lives depend on whether we're properly dressed. If we're not properly dressed, oh, thank you. Good man, McGee. If we're not properly dressed, the enemy's going to have a heyday. Either we're not going to be using the sword of the Spirit, we're not going to be throwing our shield up, we're not going to be wearing believing our salvation like we should, our righteousness is getting tarnished because we're not relying on the righteousness of Christ. We need to be able to talk to one another about those things. In Proverbs, it says, as iron, this is Proverbs 27:17, it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, when iron sharpens iron, it makes sparks. It's not always a smooth process. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are lavish and deceitful. We need to be able to take correction. Our lives, our spiritual lives, our physical lives depend on it if we don't take correction. A foundation of the scriptures is that every time you went through the Old Testament, you saw that Abraham took correction and he was counted for righteousness. Moses took correction, it was counted to him as righteousness. David took correction, it was counted to him as righteousness. Saul? Not so much. What did Saul say? He did something wrong, and, well, forgive me and come in and do this sacrifice and bless me anyway. So then he did it again. Well, just come bless me anyway. He wasn't willing to be humble and to repent. We need to be able to be humble and repent. I want you all to know that if you see something in my life that is troubling you, come talk to me. Not all at once. Hopefully it won't take that. But it's true, because in our walks, we're all going to find ways that we can get off the edge. And we can do it so easy. We can do it in our businesses. We can do it in our families. We can do it in our friends. You know, one of the things that's important about the friends that you deal with. Mike talked about being yoked the other day. And Herb and I found out what it's like to be unequally yoked for a little bit on the... well, Kyle also, because he was the fulcrum. Herb's just a little bit shorter than I am, and when Kyle got on there, everything just kind of went that way. But it's when you're unequally yoked, it's tough. When you're unequally yoked in business, I was in business with a guy for a while, and it was tough, because I didn't seek the Lord first. I just went in that, you know, he's a Christian. Sounds like a good thing to do. Not so good. he had some issues, and he brought him into the relationship, and if I'd have been listening to the Lord, never would have gotten into it, and we would have been friends to this day. But once we got into business together, friendship went right out the window. And the business didn't do well either. But being unequally yoked, as Mike was talking about, is so important. How do you lock your shields up with somebody that you're not yoked properly with? You can't do it. It's not. You're going to have holes and gaps, and there's places where the enemy can get through. And those things are important. How do we talk about that? You know, this is a correction. Like if somebody came to and said, if somebody would come to me and said, you know, Rick, I just don't feel like the Spirit of God's just telling me this just doesn't seem like a good matchup. If I'd have gone to my pastor at the time and says, does this seem right? See, no, I shouldn't be just willing to receive correction. I should be seeking it. Am I doing this right? Pastor Sean, am I doing this right? Am I hearing the right thing? I should be able to come to anybody like that. And you folks should be able to come to me. We should have that time to talk. 1 Timothy 3:10, and just the 1 Timothy 3 talks a lot about deacons and bishops and all these places of authority in the church. But they apply to anybody in the body of Christ that is coming in to be a worker or a steward or any of those places, any of the gifts of the Spirit or in the helps ministry. It says here in 1 Timothy 3:10, let these also first be proved, tested, then let them serve. You know, there's been, there was a singer, and he was a famous singer. I hesitate to use his name because I'm not sure if I got the right one, but he got born again, supposedly. For 3.5 years, the church put him in front of everybody. Just put him in front of everybody because he was a famous singer. And they put him in front of everybody. And after 3.5 years, he says, well, if that was good enough for Jesus, I guess it's good enough for me. And he went back into the secular world. Just that quick. He had a false look at things, but he wasn't proved. You know, if somebody were to come here to want to say, well, you know, I can do this and this and this in your church. Very good. Let's prove you first. I think we've all heard this, but you know, if you're willing to clean toilets, then I guess you're willing to be on the, then you're worthy of being on the board. If you're willing to mop the floor, then you're worthy of being in teaching. If you're worthy of, if you're able to do these things and you do them without grumbling and complaining, you're being proved. You're being assayed. You're in a crucible. And sometimes that crucible doesn't feel good. You know how many times I've cleaned this toilet? Well, I haven't cleaned any here yet. No. But when we do things like that, we're being assayed. It's being proven, and the dross is coming off, and we're getting down to the metal. We're getting down to the pure metal. And this pure metal, this armor is pure metal. It's the pureness of God. There's no darkness in that. Because you've been through the crucible. If you've been truly let yourself go through the crucible and taste some of the fire, and some of the heat. When we come into any body, we come with our bona fides, and those are just what we know we can do. But they need to be tested. Just because somebody says, well, I can speak, so could a donkey. And that just, you know, the guy wouldn't listen, but he could listen to a donkey. Something strange here. We've got to be able to take correction. We've got to be able to understand. It's a foundation of our belief because God wants us to be pure. I mean, when he talked to the churches, he wasn't holding anything back. You've done some good things. You really have. I really appreciate that. However, we just got something to talk about here. It says in Proverbs 17:10, a reproof enters deeper into a man of understanding than 100 lashes into a self-confident fool. In the body of Christ, we've become a little too timid about things, and it's hurt us because nobody wants to take correction. Nobody wants to give correction. Nobody wants to stand under that microscope. But the reproof, if you're a man of understanding, I mean, how can you run a business if you're making the same mistake over and over and over again? Until somebody comes along and they say, Mike, you don't tape seams that way. But these are so important. We've got to be able to receive that. We've got to be able to be in that place that we can take that reproof and understand it, that it is done in love. Now, there are people who are critical. And a critical spirit is something that we have to be aware of, because critical spirits will cause a lot of problem, a lot of pain, a lot of anxiety. But generally, you can feel that in your spirit, that whether it's a critical spirit or it's a conviction of the Holy Spirit brought by a brother or sister in Christ. A critical spirit will condemn you, will make you feel foolish, will make you feel like you're a loser. A person who loves God and loves you will tell you the truth. And they will tell it to you straight out and say, I'm just letting you know, I love you and I don't ever want to see you make that mistake. I don't ever want to see you make that fall, because getting back up to it could hurt. It's not a good thing. You know, and all this armor that we have here, we're dressing appropriately for. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability, this is in the Amplified, over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. That is a promise from Jesus. That's in the red letters. And the only way that can get through you, to get to you, is if you don't keep your armor up. That's the only way. You drop your shield of faith, he's going to come through. You keep your sword sheathed, he's going to get through to you. You let this righteousness get tarnished up, he's going to beat on you. But you have all the power. Yeah, but it all works together. I have to have my armor. So in Ephesians 6, we understand that the wiles of the devil are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. And we know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the things that are coming against us. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And that's the thing that is so important, the whole armor of God. There's a lot of people that carry their salvation, but they've dropped everything else. There's a lot of people that carry that face shield, but they're not too concerned about the righteousness of the sword of the Spirit. They don't got a lot of peace. They're stubbing their toes all the time. It says we're supposed to take on the whole armor. We need to get comfortable in it. We need to get comfortable in it. When somebody talks to us, you know, if my armor's chafing me, I need somebody to tell me why. Something's just not right. And somebody come along and say, well, that's because your peace isn't right. That's why your toes are all stubbed up. Your righteousness, you're trying to do it in your righteousness, not in God's righteousness. Loosen that up. Yeah. And it says that if you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You know, in the Old Testament, when they were building the wall after the time that they're in captivity with the Chaldeans, and they went out there and they stood on the wall, they had their spear in their hand and they laid their bricks and they were looking out, but they did all their building with their armor and their weapons with them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We don't lay our armor down. Just we've heard the story of David or of Gideon when he went down. These names just kind of go away sometimes. But it's for Gideon, and he had to prove those guys down to 300, right? And what did the last ones do that got let go? They put their weapons down, and they got down, stuck their face in the water. It says, having done all, to stand. Corinthians, I can't think of the chapter and verse right now, but Corinthians says, to stand you as watchmen, quit you as men, is the King James. And that is that, be a man. Stand there. Don't cower. Don't back up. But be present. Be there. I'll have to look that scripture up someday again. It says, stand therefore. So he says, having done all to stand. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of the righteousness, having your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're supposed to be watching for each other. You know, the old saying is, I got your six. Well, God has he's our rearward guard. He's got our back, but we need to have each other six. We need to be watching each other's back. We need to be helping each other along, because the days are getting more and more evil. We see more and more stuff in the news. Sometimes it's very disheartening, but we see more and more stuff in the news. We're seeing Christians in other countries being slaughtered in their schools and their churches. We're seeing shootings in places that were unheard of. We're seeing abortion is just going rampant. We're seeing where our governments are actually saying, look, if the baby's born alive, we don't care, let him die. That's just the same as if we take them out, if we cut them out of the womb. We don't care. We're not gonna support their life. These things are just as evil can be, and we're inundated to it because we have a 24-hour news cycle. I know I said this one time with Luann and I after 9/11. We sat and watched that news cycle and watched it and watched it and watched it. And after a while, it just got to the point, we can't watch this anymore. All we see is this fear was starting to come out of this thing, that this attack was going to be coming, that the United States was under attack, and all these horrible things were happening. We had to shut it off because it was just tearing us up. And too often we get tied up in the news, and the news will wear away at the armor. Because you start seeing all the bad stuff there, you start laying that faith shield down, and it gets to be like, that's just too much. It's just too much. It's just, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and nothing we can do about it. I don't even know what truth is anymore. You know, and our truth that we hear on the news anymore, we don't know what it is. There used to be a day when a journalist would give you the news. Now they give you their opinions. We have to know what we're supposed to think. We have to know what we're supposed to act on. But this armor that we're supposed to take on is truly, outside of the shield of faith, everything on there is forward-facing. We're to march forward. It says in the scripture, it says that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. Now, one time I used to think that meant that, you know, the devil was trying to come this way, but that's not the truth. We're going that way. We're pushing against the powers of evil and darkness. And so that's what this is all about. We have to push through. And we have to be strong in each other and strong in the Lord. We have to help each other. Christianity is not Lone Ranger Christians don't do well. They don't do well at all. I've seen too many of them. We need to be part of the body and do our place, or do our part as part of that body. We need to bring our armor together. We need to be able to stand firm. We need to be able to watch each other and help each other, encourage each other. Encouragement, correction, it all works together. I got this thing that I saw the other day. Says, if you're going through hell, walk like you own the place. And it's true. If you're shod, if you are dressed for battle, walk like you own the place. Walk through there. Let the devil know you're there. I mean, come in there with all that stuff just a shining and a gleaming and just give him a little bling. But that's what we do. We need to dress appropriately, and we need to help each other dress appropriately. We need to look at each other and in love, not in criticism, but in love. And if we see things, we need to be able to talk to one another. We need to be able to receive correction. We need to be able to give correction. We need to be able to give encouragement. We need to be able to say, you know, I saw how you fought against that. I saw how you rose up out of that. I heard your testimony. Every day that I knew that you were going through this stuff, all I heard out of your mouth was, God has my back. I am moving forward. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. These things kept coming out of your mouth, and I saw the victory. We need to bring those things up as well. We need to bring those things up when we see somebody do a good act. His righteousness is coming forward in that. We need to see that the sword of the Spirit we use properly. We need to see the person has used his faith. And I hope that as we go to heaven, we see that our shields are pretty well dinged up. You know? That the devil, when he came after us, all he meant was that. And that we used the sword of the Spirit, and we used the truth, and we used it in love, and we cared one for another. And that, although I'm a little short on time, I'd just like to pray for us to, Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says that we are your children. Father God, your word says that we have covenant with you. Father, you have given us this armor. This is your armor. And this is the beautiful thing, Father. Although as Paul or David could not wear Saul's armor, we can wear yours. It says the whole armor of God. And Father, we're thankful for that. And Father God, that we would learn to truly use to that helmet of salvation and understand who we are. That we are yours, that we're bought with a price, and that we don't take that lightly, Father God. But we understand of a terrible price that was paid for our salvation. And we wear that helmet properly and correctly, Father God. Lord, that we have that shield of faith that we take up against the fiery darts of the wicked one. Father, that we use the sword of the Spirit. We don't keep it sheathed, Father God. We don't keep our mouths shut. But Father, we speak out in boldness and in love and in victory, Father God, for the battle is already won. The victory is ours in Christ Jesus, Father God. Father God, that our feet are shod in the gospel of peace. Lord, that we are at peace with all mankind as much as we are able to be. As Paul said, as much as you are able, be at peace with all men. And Father God, we walk in peace. We're not getting our toes stubbed. If they step on us, they're stepping on our shoes, Father God. They're not stepping on our bare toes. We're shod in the gospel of peace. And that peace permeates through us, Father God, as we touch others with our hands and with our words, Father God, as we love them for it, Father. Our righteousness, Lord, we thank you that our righteousness is yours. Father God, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that righteousness stands and shines as a brilliant beacon towards the enemy. He sees Christ. He sees your armor, Father. He sees it well worn, Lord. He sees it ready that we stand. And having done all, we stand. And as we continue to do that, we stand firm in the faith, Father God. All the fiery darts hit our shield. We don't let them through to that breastplate. We stand firm in your word, Father God. We give you praise. Father, I thank you for every person here and every person that's listened on the internet. Father God, I thank you that your word is truth and is powerful, Father God. It's what we stand on. It's the ammunition that we have in our belly, so when the sword of the Spirit comes out not loose, but it comes out strong. It comes out with fire, Father God. You are the God who answers with fire. And so, Father, as our words go forth, they go forth in strength and peace, and they give life, Father God. They don't take life. We give you all the praise and the glory this evening, Father God. We thank you so much for the love that you shed abroad in our heart. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.